Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 7th of June. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I'm ably assisted by Mr. Marvellous Martin White. Sorry, Martin. I know you don't like that, which is why I do it.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Nice to be back on this beautiful, sunny summer's day.
It's gorgeous out there, isn't it?
Yeah, what a contrast.
The alpacas are frolicking and all kinds.
Yes. Absolutely. It's a beautiful day. Good afternoon, listener. We hope you are enjoying the sunshine.
Absolutely. Lovely day. But thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's a pleasure to share a couple of hours with you, as always. And, of course, this show is for the businesses out there in the southeast of England. So you can get in touch with us, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of me is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And if you wouldn't mind, please use the hashtag BBunker. Thank you so much.
Why exactly am I here today, Paul, anyway? Is somebody else supposed to be here today?
That's a deep question. Isn't that a deep question? What, Paul, why am I here? It's the kind of question I'm being asked quite a lot at the moment. People send me texts and go, Paul, could you tell me why I'm here? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose?
Can you tell me which way I should vote in the EU referendum?
Exactly. I got one of those this morning as well. But the reason, to be less frivolous for the moment, the reason you are here is that my somewhat peripatetic co-host who decided that she was going to do the first show of every month, then realised she was on holiday in Spain today, is actually sitting by a swimming pool at the moment, two bottles of Prosecco down, tucking into a plate of paella that's probably about 4 foot high, and listening to the show and thinking, suckers.
I saw your tweet the other day, Jules, by the way, with your steaks on the barbecue. They look fantastic.
They do.
Yeah.
I've never known a woman tweet so many pictures of food ever, ever, every 10 seconds. And the thing is, it's not just stuff that she's seen cooked. It's what she's actually eating. Mm. Yeah. And she has like 11 meals a day. It's unbelievable.
And she still manages to keep that amazing figure.
Self-like figure, absolutely. How she does it, I've no idea. Anyway, enough about her, because she's not here, but you are. Thank you, Martin. Thank you for stepping into the breach and looking decidedly Jules-like while you're here, and we do appreciate it. Thank you so much. As I say, you can get in touch with us on the Twitter, and we have had dozens and dozens of tweets, and I'm going to start with Dandelion Social, the lovely Lucy Milton. First of all, congratulations on your recent marriage, Lucy. And Lucy has said she's got a podcast, Marketing Your Business on Snapchat, and also a chat with some other bloke, which happens to be me, but you can ignore that bit. So do give Lucy a follow on the Twitter. It's Dandelion SM. Is her Twitter handle, Dandelion SM, that's Dandelion Social Media, on the Twitter, and check out her podcasts. She does regular podcasts on a range of topics, and they're always fascinating. I had a tweet from my friends at Tenterton Toilets.
Ooh.
Would you believe? Ooh. And they just say hello. They don't say much else, because they're busy with the toilets, really, at the moment. But it's the lovely folks at Tenterton Toilets. They are good.
Actually. Nice and cool in there, I'd imagine, at the moment.
I'm sure it's lovely. I'm sure it's fragrantly smelling and cool and lovely with all those neatly washed down tiles. They actually do a brilliant job. The Tenterton Toilets do an absolute brilliant job of keeping the public toilets clean in Tenterton. And you can't say fairer than that. It does what it says on the tin.
Going back to Lucy. Lucy, congratulations, by the way, Lucy, on your wedding. Lucy was at Create a couple of weeks ago, wasn't she?
She was indeed,
Presenting all about podcasts and the benefits of doing a podcast. And she's actually very kindly offered to record a podcast with me this Thursday. So we are meeting
Blimey.
In Faversham. And I think she's bringing the little one along as well. So,
what, Richard?
the other little one.
Oh, right, okay.
The little one. Okay. And, yeah, so there might be a bit of him in the background as well, which will be cool. Great.
So what are you podcasting on, Martin?
Well, Lucy's asked me to talk about business in general, but also supply my business and how we help small businesses in Kent. So, yeah.
Nice.
Should be fun.
Yeah. I had a tweet from Jules.
Ah, she is listening.
Yeah. She said, hello. do you think she might have pre-programmed that? I've also had a tweet from the lovely Denise Wilton, who's known on the Twitter as Mrs. Denise Wilton. And she says, Paul, I would love a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker Show, promoting my guest's blog about SWOT analysis on the Fruitworks blog. We've obviously got a Fruitworks-related show today. I don't know how that came about. But Denise has a fabulous blog about SWOT analysis, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. There's a blog on fruitworks.co, and then find the blog pages and you will find Denise's blog there. So do check that out and have a read.
Well, sticking with Fruitworks, they have tweeted in and asked for a shout out, and obviously they're very near to completing their expansion, which means I think they're going to, is it double their capacity?
Quadruple it,
which is incredible. And I'm delighted to say that we're actually going to be sponsoring their Create event at the end of July, on the 28th
of July.
Yeah, so that's brilliant, because we were looking for an opportunity to be able to kind of bring our members together to do some face-to-face networking, and rather than trying to reinvent the wheel and rather than trying to offer people yet another sausage breakfast, we thought, well, look, why don't we tap into something that's already out there that people go to, that people really enjoy going to, and offer our members the opportunity to get involved with that. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing. So delighted with that.
And it will be the first one in the new premises as well.
Exactly.
So the new expanded premises. So there will be millions of people there. There will be.
Right. No, it's going to be a good night.
I just had another tweet from Jules. she said, brilliant products, amazingly quick delivery to our house in Moraya. Guess what it is?
Organic Sisters.
No, it's a takeaway. It's
Jules is brilliant at that, isn't she? Wherever she is,
food finds her.
Yeah, well, she'll find out, you know, what your Twitter handle is, and then she'll order something from you, include your Twitter handle in a tweet about whatever it is that she's bought, and then hope to get it free next time round.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've had a tweet from a new listener, Mr. Brian McDowell, and his Twitter handle is BrianKent20717, so 2017, BrianKent2017. And he says, hi, Vanilla Web. Well, there's lots we're doing in the Kent community and businesses, and we'd love a mention, please. He hasn't told me what they're doing, so I think the easiest thing is to follow him on the Twitter and find out what they're up to. Mm. And that's Brian McDowell. And his Twitter handle is BrianKent2017, so give him a follow.
Brian is a councillor.
Is he?
And he's very involved with small businesses in and around the Herne Bay area.
Okay.
And very keen to work with small businesses to actually help them grow and move on. So
when you say a councillor, do you lay on a couch and go?
No, not that kind of
It all started when I was quite young. No, that kind of thing.
Another politician.
Councillor. I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, somebody's got to be, I guess. Thank you, Brian. We've also had Creative Heritage, and that's creative, and they've been really creative with their name, because instead of the A in creative, they've used the number 8. That's cool, isn't it? Creative Heritage is their Twitter handle, and they say, Paul, Business Bunker, would love it if you could shout out our new online shop. We're based in Minster-on-Sea, Kent, and please visit our shop. And their web address for the said shop is Creative Heritage, and as I say, with the number 8 instead of the letter A. So that, just for the avoidance of doubt, is CRE8IVEHERITAGE.co.uk. Creative heritage.co.uk. So do have a look at their online shop and find out what they're up to.
There's some wonderful businesses based over there, actually. There's a concrete works based over there. And
it's a hard business to be in. Well, they're very set in their ways.
Oh, you're a hard act to follow. But it's not...
Sorry to interrupt. I used to work as a leadership speaker and a motivational speaker, and I once got hired by the Concrete Association of Great Britain to talk at a concrete conference, and I know nothing about concrete. And not only that, I was asked to deliver it from behind the bar of the Rover's Return. Okay, so it was on the set in Granada Studios. So I'm stood behind the bar, and I did. The only thing I could think of was all those puns about being hard and set and stuff like that. And that was the end of my talk, really, because I didn't know anything else.
And you didn't.
And I've not moved on since then.
I was going to say you didn't get invited back.
No.
Anyway, what I was going to say,
is
that this particular concrete factory, they produce garden ornaments. So benches, for example.
Oh, I thought you were going to say gnomes.
Gnomes.
Did I do gnomes?
They've got a massive range
little fishing rods.
Neat. Bird baths, all sorts of stuff.
Right.
So rather than sort of splashing out and having one carved in marble.
Splashing out in a bird bath. He's doing it now as well. Do you know what? I bought some bird seed the other day. I planted it all, but nothing came up. Sorry, carry on.
Sorry, listener. He's gone off on one, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I'm going to finish on the concrete, but if you fancy a nice concrete garden bench, you can slap a bit of yoghurt on it, and it will soon look like something that's a much older bench than perhaps it is. So pop down to Minster in on Cheppy and get yourself one of those.
Cool. I've had a tweet from the lovely Gemma Fairhay, and she says, Vanilla Web, can I have one last shout out for my employment law and auto-enrolment event, which is taking place between 9 and 12, and it's at the St. George Hotel. I haven't got any more details because she's run out of space on the tweet. So I suggest what you do is you follow Gemma and find out the rest of the details.
Well, it's a good job I'm here, isn't it, Paul?
Have you got an email about it?
Because I've got all the information
here.
Oh,
you're a star. He's good. So, he's so good. He really is good.
It's next Tuesday, I believe, is the 14th.
That's right.
At the St. George Hotel, New Road, Chatham. It's 9 till 12. It's £20. And it really is everything you need to know about employee rights, including what happens at employment tribunals, but also auto-enrolment as well. So, do you know your staging date, for example? Do you know what you need to do in order to comply with the legislation there? So it's going to be a very interesting morning, a lot to pack in. I'm sure there'll be some quality networking there on the day as well. You can book on Eventbrite. It's eventbrite.com. You'll never find it. It's auto employment law, auto enrolment, da da da. The easiest thing to do would just be to tweet Gemma at Gemma Fairhay.
Yeah, Twitter absolutely. Account. Gemma Fairhay, F A Y R H A Y. And as Martin says, you can find out all the details about that. And she's auctioning employment law. So one last tweet before, and then an email or so, and then we're going to have a listen to some cheesy tunage. And our first guest, I've had a tweet from another new listener, Kimberly Evans, who's Kimberly Arborn on the Twitter. And she says, Paul, I sell pure, safe and beneficial skincare. She's been looking again. And nutrition in Kent and beyond. No chemicals, but amazing benefits. So do give Kimberly a follow. That's Kimberly, KimberlyArbon, Kimberly Arborn on the Twitter. She sells stuff for your face.
So that's Kimberly from Arborn.
Yeah,
Arborn
is a skincare firm. Yeah, but that's her Twitter handle. Yep.
Just very quickly, I was with the lovely people from Cane and Beer yesterday up in Bromley. It was a scorching hot day. Thank you for having me, guys. They run some fabulous curry and beer networking evenings, and their next one is actually on the 14th of July at the Rajmoni in Bromley. So if you are a business that's local to Bromley, pop along for their curry evenings. £20, starts at 6:30. What a great way to go networking. So that's the 14th of July, which is Bastille Day, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Not that that's relevant at all.
No. I'll tell you what we're going to do now, young Martin. We're going to play a bit of tunage, and then we're going to go straight into our first guest without a break. What do you reckon? Sound
let's
all right?
Do it.
Let's do it.
Of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Jobsinkent.com.
Do you need suppliers you can trust for your Kent business? Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Joining me on the Business Bunker now, we have Ian Hughes. Ian is an actor, coach, and inspirational speaker. Ian, welcome to the Business Bunker show.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to kick off by finding a bit more about you. Tell us a bit about your history and the kind of things you've been involved in.
I suppose I wear three different hats. As an actor, as you mentioned, as a coach and as a speaker. I started off as an actor about 25 years ago from South Wales originally. Pursued that for about 10 years in isolation before moving into corporate training, focusing on presentation skills, communication skills, both here in the UK and across Europe, through various contacts I had. And from that area of work, then moved into speaking work. People were asking me, what do you speak about? And I said, well, I don't. I thought that was a bit of a lame excuse, so I started speaking. And the three now seem to complement themselves really well. So the acting work will inform what I do in the coaching work. And likewise, the speaking work will inform the coaching work and back to the acting work. So it's a really happy sort of three areas of specialisation, if you like.
Absolutely. Okay. If you don't mind me asking, what in your acting career, what would we have seen you in?
It's a question I'm often asked.
Yeah.
I spent 10 years with the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Right, okay.
So that was a fairly hefty classical work based in Stratford-upon-Avon, London, and across Australia and New Zealand and Japan and China, funnily enough. Within that period, I did some television work and still do television work. I just finished filming EastEnders. Look right. out for me in the next few weeks as Dr. Manda.
All right.
But the work I've done has been the usual Casualty, Holby City. I was in Gavin and Stacey. I did 6 episodes of Stella, a show on Sky, with Ruth Jones. Torchwood, I filmed that in Wales and in Los Angeles, which is a pleasant place to work for a while.
Absolutely.
So Robin Hood, we filmed in Prague. So usual stuff. I worked with some well-known American actors. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I did a rather dubious film called Doom, which is based on a computer game, if the computer buff's listening. It's a very good game, but a terrible film. he was very charming. So it's been a range of stuff.
Right.
And within that as well, I've worked, as a part from the theatre work, radio work, radio plays. I narrate TV documentaries for Discovery Channel, History Channel. Voiceover work, voicing animations, computer games. For a while, for a year and a half, I was the voice behind You Can Do It If You Be In Cuit. Would you?
Oh, really?
You Can Do It If You Be In Cuit. So it was a range of stuff.
Right,
so it was a Catholic, a Catholic broad range of work. Yeah.
Okay. And I happen to know that you're still involved in teaching and training actors and people like that. But I want to move on now to discuss your later work in terms of your speaking, and your coaching and training. So you moved into a kind of corporate world in terms of speaking. Do you want to give us a bit of background into what kind of motivated you to do that and your thoughts and feelings on where you are? I know we've had a discussion about some of the issues around speaking in the corporate world, and I think they're a fascinating thing to discuss.
It was through a personal contact I was introduced to a corporate training room. I was asked to go in and help a team of people who were presenting for a large presentation where there were lots of bucks, big bucks at stake. Mm. And what struck me very strongly was these individuals are very senior within their organisation, but for some reason, speaking to human beings in the presentation format really scared them. They got very nervous, very tense, and this was a trend I've discovered and been very aware of in the last several years. Often the more senior somebody is, the more they're asked to speak on camera, on radio, to conferences, to address their senior board, and it's that seems to really instill fear.
Absolutely, yeah.
Really genuine, the heart palpitations, the sweating, the shifting around, and as we know, we're a very visual species, human beings. We look and we see, we don't just listen, and as we look, if there's something that we don't quite like and we can't put our finger on, we might not trust that individual. Mm. And if we're talking about selling in a business context, trust is vital.
Absolutely.
So that was the starting point, because I knew that techniques from drama school and actor training techniques often are to do with rapport building, presence, charisma, looking at ease, feeling calm. Although you might not feel it inside, that doesn't really matter. If you come across as being calm and in control, here's a story. I worked with Judi Dench on a stage production about 7 years ago.
Right.
So one of the greatest actresses in the country, I think most people would say. Backstage every night, she was a bag of nerves.
Right.
Genuinely very, very tense. Yet she steps onto the stage, there's no sniff of nerves. Mm. And that intrigued me. So I realized the crossover between the acting world and the training world was a very strong one. And the techniques I use in the training room now are mostly derived from actor training. And the results can be quite astonishing within a short space of time. Mm. We can get rid of nerves, we can get rid of tension, we can improve diction, we can improve clarity, and we can build up that gut reaction, that hitting it off, rapport building, whatever you want to call it. So people like you when you speak. And as we know in the business situation, people buy people. They
Absolutely,
don't buy
yeah.
products, they don't yeah. buy syrup, yeah. they buy people. Get so
sure.
If you like the messenger, you're going to like the message.
Mm. No, I agree 100%.
Good.
And it's interesting, and we see this with the radio show, where people come along very confident, very, very knowledgeable about their field of expertise, get in front of a microphone, it all kind of falls away.
All goes to pieces.
Yeah, yeah. And it's such a shame. And you think, I don't understand. I don't understand why.
But as I say, these things are quite easy to remedy. There's no rocket science. They're practical techniques. And that's the focus of my training work and indeed my speaking work. Practical things people can actually do.
Mm.
It's great to hear a theory in about, there are great vocal experts out to talk about how the breath is produced, how the voice is produced. That's fascinating, but actually, will that make a practical difference within a 2 or 3 hour training session? Probably not. What will make a difference are practical, easy steps someone can take to change and enhance their vocal delivery, their vocal style, to eradicate, and then we talked earlier about eradicating those ums and ahs. We call them verbal fillers when somebody might be is a little bit unsure of what they're saying. Yeah. It can really minimise someone's gravitas or minimise someone's status. How do we get rid of those? Very easy, straightforward technique to eradicate and remove those, so all you hear are the words the speaker wants to say. Mm. And they have a profound impact in terms of how somebody comes across on radio, on camera, or on presenting or pitching an idea.
Absolutely. I need to come on one of your workshops. I'm one of the worst that I'm in an hour on the radio. I need to come on a workshop.
You're very welcome.
And I am going to book myself on one of your workshops because I need that big time. Moving forward a bit, you are one of the keynote speakers at an up-and-coming event, which is the Business to Business Exhibition, North Kent Business to Business Exhibition at Butmore Park on 29th of July. So what are you going to be telling us about at that event, Ian?
It struck me, and has struck me over the last 5 or 6 years, we live increasingly in a digital age where we rely on communication through devices, phones, computers. A lot of people are glued to their screens all day long. But as I said earlier, the time comes when you need to lift your eyes and talk to other human beings. And for some reason, that transition from screen to real eyes is a real big problem for some people. So the speech I'm delivering at the conference, I suppose, is about the fact, an acknowledgement that we rely on technology, but an awareness also that in order to make real impact, we need to be good at the face-to-face stuff. So I'll be focusing on some practical techniques about delivery of information and some practical techniques about content, what to include. And these are linked to, as I said, actor training techniques, but things that enhance your message, get your message across so you speak with real impact. That's it in a nutshell, I think. Speaking with impact so people don't just listen to you, they really hear you. There's a subtle difference between speaking and being really understood and remembered. Now, the key thing I think for all my work is, are you memorable? Will people remember you? Will people remember your message? If they will, there's a stronger likelihood they'll buy your service, buy your product. How do we get into people's heads and make them remember you really well?
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to hearing it. I think it's going to be a fabulous day. And if people want to find out more about you, the work you do, how can they do that?
The obvious way is there's my Twitter is Ian Hughes Now, and my website is www.speakthespeech.co.uk, speakthespeech.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. We're really looking forward to hearing you at the B2B on the 29th of June. For the moment, Ian Hughes, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That was Ian Hughes. And Ian, you can hear more of when he appears as one of the keynote speakers at the up-and-coming business-to-business event, North Kent. And I think you've got some more detail about that as well, haven't you, Martin?
I think that might be happening on the 29th of June.
It is, Paul, indeed.
At Buckmore Park. So, yes, we've got a business breakfast, which I'm actually going to, and there's a couple of other people I know that are going to that, so that's going to be brilliant. I mean, obviously, there's speed networking, there's business advice sessions, one-to-ones with experienced advisors, and, of course, there's an exhibition, and we were just talking about Gemma and her employment law workshop that she's got next week. But there's also, she's going to be exhibiting actually at the B2B with Linda Garcia, another one of our past show guests.
I think we've got some stuff on that to read out later.
We've got lots of.
And I've had a couple of tweets here as well from the New Appointments Group.
Yes, good.
Who, the lovely recruitment and employment company in Kent. And they say, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, don't forget that the New Appointment Group, and that's NAG Recruitment on the Twitter, are sponsoring the Kent B2B karting time trials on the 29th. And they go on to say, Martin, have you boys been in training yet to see if either of you fit in a go-kart? Thank you.
No, it's the short answer to that.
I'm just so confident of beating him, I don't need to go into training.
I did go out on my bicycle
on
Sunday.
Oh, that's not fair.
And I won't be doing that again in a hurry.
I've also had a tweet from the lovely Vicky at Continuity of Care. Continuity Care number one on the Twitter. And she says, Vanilla Web, please could I have a shout out? I've got a new office. It's in the Maidstone Studios and I can't wait to get started. And she also says, Cascade Insurance, that's you, Mark. Yep. Thanks for joining us.
Fabulous.
Cool. So have you moved in with them or what?
No, no. We just helped out with some insurance.
Oh, I see. I see. Obviously. Yeah. Okay, cool. Good. So thank you for that, Vicky, and congratulations, and I hope you enjoy your new office at the Maidstone TV studios. Lovely. Red Sails Faversham have also tweeted, we have a unique beer matching event. I have no idea what a beer matching event is, but there's a tasting menu involved, and it's on the 14th of July, and it's 50 quid a person. Could you drink that much beer? It's 50 quid a person. Oh, and that includes a minibus for large groups. Well, there you go. They're expecting a night of it then. Yeah, you can't be bad. If you want to find out more about it, go to their website, which is faversham creek hotel.co.uk/event/beer. So that's faversham creek hotel.co.uk. Do check that out. It's a beer tasting menu with minibus. Can't be bad.
I think that's about 10 pints in London, isn't it? 5 quid a pint in some pubs in London now. So, yeah, probably just about.
And the rest. I was in Covent Garden on Saturday night with a friend, and I bought her a glass of wine. Just a glass of cheap house white wine. £10.99.
Unbelievable.
Get out of it. Mm. I'll bring my own bottle for that. Two bottles for that.
The other thing you forgot to mention about the B2B is John Surtees is going to be there, and he's going to be opening the B2B.
He is indeed.
And delivering a keynote. And you've got an interview, haven't
you? And I've got an interview coming up with John Surtees very shortly. Not today. Next week, we will be hearing from the lovely John Surtees, the only man in history to win a world championship on two wheels and four, a world 500cc motorcycle champion and a world Formula One champion. No one else has done it before or since. So we're really looking forward to that. And John, as some of you may know, actually owns the circuit of Butmore Park these days.
Did he ever compete in the TT, do you know? Because that's on at the moment. And the racing is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. As far as I know, he did. Yeah, two or three drivers were for Damon Hill was a motorcycle racer before he raced cars. And two or three of them competed in motorcycle racing. And as a 500cc exponent, he would have raced at the TT. In fact, I know he did because I've seen some pictures of Surtees racing on the Isle of Man. Yeah.
Now, a certain person not too far from you was quite keen to sit in on that that radio interview in the studio.
I wonder who that would be then.
But as I understand it, it's pre-recorded.
As you understand it, I am going to see John and to record it at his track. Yes. Yeah,
thanks.
You can come and carry my bag for me if you want.
Delighted to. Anything.
Yeah. Good. Although she's on. No, anyway.
What I love about these ex-drivers is they've all got the most incredible collection of cars as well, haven't they? I mean,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
And bikes, obviously, in John's case. Yeah, I mean, they have a barn in the garden.
Yeah,
And they've got them hanging on the wall, you know. Yeah. Just amazing. Jackie Stewart's another one, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Wall-to-wall cars.
Yeah.
Superb. Yep, good stuff. Right, do you know what? I think we'll talk to our next guest now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back. You have been on before, haven't you, Mark?
I have, yep.
It's welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Mark Fisher of Cascade Insurance. Mark, welcome back onto the Bunker Show.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure and delight to see you back here. And what I want to do is, first of all, you can give us a bit of background to Cascade, because you're a relatively new business, relatively new, based in Ashford. So tell us about that.
So we've been going just over a year now. Mm-hmm. I think I came on the show, must have been last June. So
absolutely.
We were very new at that time. Mm. We've been helping businesses across Kent with their insurance and individuals too. And we tried to take a bit of a different approach from a standard insurance broker. I think, like lots of older established industries, there is a bit of a perhaps a stigma around an insurance broker.
You're trying to avoid the word dinosaur there, aren't you?
Possibly, yeah.
Not that I'm going to put words in your mouth, but I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
And we're really focusing everything around service. So there's no obligation for quotes. It's about advice. It's making sure that people are covered. The insurance world has evolved, believe it or not, quite a bit, particularly in the last sort of 3 to 4 years. Lots of new legislation coming up. And what we're finding is that we're seeing an increasing number of businesses and individuals saying they've got problems with their insurance. They thought they had a great policy. They don't have a great policy. They've had a claim. And that's the worst thing. And what we're trying to do is to get people good advice around how insurance works, but also works specifically for them.
Absolutely.
And it differs for everybody.
We were talking with our other guest, Adam, earlier before the show, and we were talking about this, and so many businesses, me included, you take out insurance policies, you renew them every year, you very, very rarely review what you're doing, and it isn't until, you know, the proverbial hits the rotating thing that you suddenly realise you haven't covered something or you haven't got enough cover or whatever. We don't pay enough attention to what we're doing, and I guess we're all scared of the cost of these things. But at the end of the day, the cost of not doing it properly far outweighs the cost of, you know, trying to do it cheaply.
Yeah, I think in everyone's defence as well, when you buy a product, you get a document that's 50-odd pages long,
yeah,
which has all the exclusions in it. And, yeah, of course, we all think insurance stands still, but actually, yeah, with all the changes across all the industries, insurance actually moves forward at quite a pace.
Yeah.
But it's not, the things in it aren't exciting enough to be, wow, look what's changed in my insurance contract this year. You know, it's, yeah, not, it doesn't quite, yeah, work like that.
Do you know they've changed the paragraph in my contract? Wow, that is so novel. They've put the I get what you're saying. You're absolutely right.
It's a really interesting point, though, because I had a little bump in my car recently. Perfectly innocent, you know. I nudged someone up the back.
In
heavy traffic conditions.
Against the red light, nothing major.
But it turns out that the individual that I bumped into is making a personal injury claim.
Yeah.
Not just for himself, but for somebody who actually wasn't in the car at the time.
Trauma.
As you do.
Yeah.
And what's happened as a result of that is I've had to be interviewed by a firm of assessors,
yep,
acting on behalf of a legal firm, acting on behalf of my insurance company.
Yeah.
And the whole point of their questioning was to see whether or not I was actually within the covenant set out in my insurance policy.
Yeah.
Am I insured to drive it on business? Am I under the maximum number of miles I've said I'm going to be doing on business each year?
Yeah.
You know, all these questions were geared around, well, actually, if it came to it, would we even have to pay out because our guy isn't even properly insured?
Yeah, exactly.
And that, for me, was quite a shock because it really brought home to me just how important it is to look at that detail.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think what we should all be delighted about is the length insurers are going to now to get rid of fraud.
Yeah.
And to try and stop it. It's so rife. Having worked at an insurer previously, the number of fraudulent claims and exaggerated claims is increasing exponentially. And because insurers changed it to a service-led delivery around claims, let's get a TV out to you, let's get some cash out to you, let's make it nice and quick, it's led to people thinking that actually it can be a maintenance policy or it can also be a fund to just go, well, actually, I wasn't covered for that, but I might as well just claim for it. And it's great to see that being cracked down on.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. And I sympathise with both sides of this, but it is true. You know, loads of people that go, I've paid the insurance for years and years and years, yeah? If something happens, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to get me money back, you know? I'm going to get me money's worth on the policy, and I might slip a few other things in there that weren't, you know, may have gone missing, but I don't know. And that's not acceptable, is it? Because at the end of the day, that all impacts on all of us, because if the insurance company pays out, it just means everybody's premiums go up again next year.
Yeah.
And they always do anyway. I mean, they go up every year in any case. But
not necessarily, but, you know.
Well, mine do. I'm thinking not the kind of stuff you do for me, but I'm thinking my car. I just renewed one of my car insurances, and what a palaver that's been. What an absolute palaver. And they so far have failed to send me the policy document four times, which has been quite interesting.
Well, my parents went on holiday to Greece a couple of years ago. The first hire car company they approached wouldn't actually insure him because they said he was too old.
Right.
So, I hear what you're saying, Paul.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get back to talking to Mark. I don't even know if you cover motor insurance. I don't suppose you do, but
we do. Yeah, we do.
Oh, you do?
We do motor. It's not something because it's so commoditized and so easy to buy. It's not something that actually we promote an awful lot, but we can do. We do prestige cars as well, so we've got access to all the markets. So.
Okay, cool. What I want to explore, though, Mark, is there's almost an unlimited range of insurance products on the market now. But from a business point of view, there are some things that most businesses need, either legally require it or you would be, you know, absolutely stupid not to have. And there are quite a few stupid people about, I'm afraid, who see it as a cost saving. What I want to explore with you, if I may, is what's the bottom line of insurance? Starting up a business for the first time, what's the bottom line of the kind of insurance that I need to think about?
Yeah, it is interesting because I think people do have this different opinion about where they buy it, and they buy just what they need or what they perceive to need. Yeah. And I think that's where we're trying to drive something different. But essentially, if you have a business and you've got any kind of vehicle in that and it goes on the road, obviously, same with your own car, you definitely need some motor vehicle insurance for that.
Sure.
Under the Road Traffic Act, so that's an absolute minimum. If you employ people, employer's liability again. That can be slightly more complicated depending on what industry you're in. So, given a general advice, you definitely need it.
Yeah. Can I just explore that a bit? And I'm not going to narrow you down here because I know how difficult it is because, you know, there's all kinds of different environments that employees work in. And therefore, you know, I mean, if you're a high tension electrical worker working up a pylon, your premiums are going to be somewhat different, you know, if you work in a fruit and vegetable. And I understand the difference. But as a general thing, what does employee liability cover?
So it covers you for any negligence potentially against anybody who works for you who becomes injured or sick.
So if I punch someone that works for me, I'm covered?
Not quite.
Ah, okay.
But let's say...
You're safe, guys.
I think you might need to talk to Gemma if that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
But someone becomes injured as a result of a process that's part of your business, right. Inhaling some fumes or something. So asbestosis is a great example of that.
Okay.
So the negligence would come back to you as the employer there because you didn't take adequate steps perhaps to protect their health and that kind of thing.
Right.
E-defenders, you know, we're looking at you with your headphones on.
Yeah.
But in a noisy environment, you should supply perhaps e-defenders and something like that. So you have a duty of care for the people that you employ.
So within the bounds of the policy that you've written and what it covers, in general, what you're doing is covering people that work for you full-time in the workplace.
It should also cover temporary and people who work for you, perhaps who just give their time. There is a duty of care around those individuals as well. It is really, really complex. So it's a statute to have at least £5 million worth of cover. Most policies will give you 10. But what's covered and who's covered, 95% of businesses who employ people need it. There are some exclusions. And there's a lovely web page to help you with all of those. And I often get asked, I don't need that, I must fall into that 5%. And it's surprising how small really that category is. And there are a few exceptions, but we could talk
absolutely. A long time. And I don't want to narrow you down to this because I know how difficult it is. But it just shows you, doesn't it, how broad even the simplest of things can be.
Yep.
But in general, again, with an employee liability policy in general, does it cover people that don't work for you that are working on your premises?
So,
you know, like a telecoms engineer, if a telecoms engineer rocked up and stuck a pair of stepladders up and started nailing a cable to a wall and went through the electric cable or something.
So that comes back to their own public liability insurance then. Right. So because they're on your premises doing something, technically they should be insured for that.
Right.
So if they left the ladder out and I tripped over it and hurt myself, or you tripped over it as your business, you would claim against their public liability for that. It doesn't come back to you as the employer.
Okay.
What if you've been negligent though, Mark? What if you've left a banana skin on the pavement outside?
I mean, but the trouble is with that, we can get into too arcane of stuff. And if it was a BT engineer, it would have been more than a banana skin in my case. I would have deliberately sawed the legs off his bloody ladder.
And it ultimately comes back to who's injured. So if an employee is injured and it's in your premises, then it's employer's liability. But as a member of the public coming here, if Paul's been negligent and the studio's in a right old state or something and I have an injury, then I'm going to claim under Paul's public liability for that.
Okay.
So there's a slight distinction.
So there's public liability on top of employee liability that we need to have as well?
Yeah, so you definitely need some public liability, no matter what you're doing. It can cover you just in your office or out and about with you as a business. Mm. It's important to get that disclosure right. Getting things like turnover right to get the calculation right is how insurers would calculate your premium.
So it's based on the turnover of the business, the revenues of the business.
That's right, whereas employer's liability is based around what business they're doing. Are they doing manual work? Is it all office-based?
Yep.
How many of them are there?
Yep.
And again, what that business ultimately is in terms of what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, if they're using dangerous tools or equipment, there's a greater propensity to a greater damage, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely.
Than poking yourself in the eye with a pencil. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I get that. So we have employer's liability, we have public liability insurance. Anything else as a basic? I mean, I know there's millions of other insurances and we can insure all kinds of risk.
So lots of commercial policies come as a package. You can select various things within that. Things that I think are important that perhaps people don't think so much of, the horrible word cyber, but the attacks, lots of attacks happen on small businesses and large businesses. the smaller the business, the more difficult it is to protect against those, or perhaps that you don't see that they're happening, but data could be at risk of being accessed, compromised, lost. Your systems could be hacked and put down for a few weeks. How would you trade that kind of thing? Business interruption, generally people buy, insure the building, it gets burnt down, it's going to be rebuilt, but perhaps they don't think about, actually, what am I going to do for the period where somebody needs to clear the land away and rebuild it? It could be 6 months, could be 12 months, could be even longer if it's a listed building.
Absolutely.
So what happens to your business in that time?
Right.
And often people haven't thought about business interruption, and it's easy for me to say I haven't thought about it, but if it's not put in front of you, or you haven't perceived what would happen if you couldn't trade tomorrow, where would you go and trade? Do you have something lined up to where you could go and get some office space or more tools, etc.?
Absolutely. And what you're telling me here, Mark, is this is where you, Cascade Insurance, kind of specialise in this, because you sit down and talk to people and go, yeah, but have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Do you need this? Do you need that? And that's not just from a sales point of view, is it? You're not just trying to go, you know, I'm going to sell you as many policies as I can. It's about getting people to think about their general coverage and the kind of things that they need. You might be aware of something. So, for instance, you could come along to me and say, look, Paul, you need X type of insurance for there. And I go, yeah, you're right, but I'm not going to do it. Yeah, because, you know, I'm just like that. I'm just not going to spend the money on that because I don't think it's worthwhile. You know, if you say to me, I want you to, you know, Martin's looking peaky and he could be da-da-da-da-da, so you need to take a policy. I go, nah, I don't care about him.
I feel a personal injury claim coming on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Any minute now, the door's going to fly open, he's going to fall backwards. But basically, you know, what you're going to tell us is the range of things that we could think about covering, and then as a business, we're going to decide what level of risk we want to take.
The other thing that frustrates me, particularly with insurance brokers, is that there's a lot of conversation that might happen around the pitch, the quote, and that sales process. But actually, shouldn't you be hearing from your insurance broker throughout the year? Not because he's a really interesting guy and it's fantastic to talk insurance, but actually as your business changes, we want our businesses to grow. But as there's calculations that are based on things like number of employees and turnover, actually I should, as a responsible broker, be talking to you throughout the year, not every week, because that would be nonsense, but a half year catch up to say what's changed in your business. Are you still adequately protected? An insurance broker, a bit like an accountant really, is actually there designed to help you with your business to make sure it's covered as you grow.
You are 100% right. I guess one of the reasons we don't demand that of our brokers as business, and I'm just kind of playing a bit of devil's advocate here, is you think, oh blimey, it's going to cost me, and I think that's our reticence, and that's stupid. It is there is no common sense in that at all, because you're ringing me up and saying, have you employed any more people? No. Yes, you have, because you've been tweeting about it all day, and you know, or whatever. And I think that's where a lot of people are reticent about this. But you're absolutely right. You know, providing that kind of relationship service is what I call it. It's really critically important, because if I pay 500 quid, say, premiums on an insurance policy that doesn't cover me, I've wasted £500 and I've got no cover. If I've paid £750 and I'm fully covered, it's actually a better proposition, isn't it? And that's the whole thing.
I think when we speak to speak to businesses, we always say we don't want to know what you're paying at the moment, because actually this isn't a price driven. We're not trying to come to you and just say we can give you a cheaper price. It can't ever be about that. It's got to be about, these are the options for your business. This is what we recommend. What have you got insured at the moment? Where do you feel your level of risk is? Because let's be honest, we all look at risk differently, and we all say, well, actually, if that happened, I wouldn't claim for that, because it's a small value. The excess is 100 quid. It's 500 quid. I wouldn't bother, because it'll just take some no claims discount.
A really good question, isn't it? Where do you think the risk is in your company? How many people actually think about their business in those terms?
And that could that's a really good point, Martin, and I want to kind of come on to that in the range of other types of business-related insurance products that are on the market now to cover different eventualities. And I want to briefly touch on things like key man insurance. And I don't even know what it's called. I'm sorry about this, but I came across another scheme that looked interesting. And if I kind of describe how it was put to me, you might go, don't know what you're talking about, or you might go, oh, that's XYZ. Somebody was talking to me about me being the owner of a business and the majority shareholder in a business. And they were looking at me and going, do you know what? You're looking really old and peaky these days, because people are nice to me like that. I go, yeah. And I go, if you kick the bucket, or were hit by the proverbial bus, what would happen to the business?
Yep.
Now, you've got Keyman Insurance on the one hand, which says, you know, if I go, we're all out of here because it's me. Without me, nothing happens. Yeah. In my case, that's not the case. You know, everybody wouldn't even notice I'd gone. But so there's two things. So there's Keyman Insurance, which we'll explore in a minute. And this other thing that was put to me, which was interesting, which was for the business to carry on, it will be an ownership thing. And there's a likelihood that I would leave my shareholding to my family. Yeah.
Yep.
What if my family went, I don't know what that's all about. I have no idea about our business. I couldn't care less. And if I sell the shares, I'm going to get well and truly done up for inheritance tax. I might have a go at running this. Yeah.
Yep.
Which leaves the rest of the business in a really bad state. So somebody put it to me that there's a type of insurance policy that you can take that covers that risk, that says, let's say my business was valued at £1 million. What it did is, as I understand it, is if I went, the beneficiaries of my estate would actually just get £1 million, yeah? And the business share ownership would stay within the business. Does that make sense?
Yes. So what you're touching on there isn't something that Cascade do, because it's a financially regulated product,
yeah,
in relation to not a general insurance product. So you would probably need some IFA advice around that works. But what lots of businesses don't do is make sure that there is some form of shareholder protection, which is critically important from both general insurance side, but and also, as you're touching on, as to what happens to that business. Yeah, you've got a form of payout, but as you say, what then happens to it?
Yeah.
How does it carry on? Who actually ends up owning it?
Yeah.
And that legal side of it needs to be tied up. You're absolutely right.
Okay. I'll tell you who does do all that then. Kevin Bates, who was on here recently, at Medic Healthcare, that whole kind of business protection area.
We know Kevin. Nice guy.
Absolutely.
His whole bank.
Totally get what you're saying, that it's kind of wrapped up in a financial product, so you need some FSA type rules around it as well, and I totally get that. Is that the same with Keyman Insurance, or is that something you can handle?
No, we can do Keyman. That's slightly different in the sense of it's quite specific about what it's saying on the tin. So the key individual in your business, if they left tomorrow, you've got some financial protection around being able to replace them, recruit, source, etc.
So basically, for those people that don't understand it, the most important person in our business is the cleaner, because she's got the keys. Yeah. So basically, if she suddenly went walkabout and we couldn't operate anymore.
We know a good locksmith.
Okay.
I think if you left, Paul, they'd throw a big party.
Yeah, they would.
No, Peter would.
They wouldn't notice. They'd go, who? Who? Sorry, he came in here once, but we never saw him again. Yeah. Okay, so Keyman Insurance is covering those people that are critical to the business from a talent, knowledge, connection point of view.
Yeah, I think as businesses grow, one person tends to probably know more about it perhaps than some of the others. So in my opinion, it's something that's perhaps overlooked quite a bit.
Yeah, okay. So there's a range of insurances. There's a range of things you can do. And, of course, we've got into the habit of buying products like that on portals. Comparison portals, which has really kind of thrown the market all over the place, hasn't it? Because people are just buying stuff on price. And I know there isn't really business insurance portals, but a lot of people think there should be.
Yeah, the portals are great for having a marketplace, but I think insurers don't like them because actually the comparison sites just rob them blind for commission. And all that's actually happened is insurers have found ways to cut down the cost by taking things out of the product. So actually, if you look at a home insurance policy now, you used to get, if you damage one part of your bathroom suite, drop the hammer in it whilst you're decorating or something, you now just get the cash for the replacement part. But if you've got, I don't know, avocado green from the 70s, how do you get the other two bits to match? So actually you've got to replace the rest, and that's now at your expense.
But frankly, that serves you right.
Isn't that weird, though, how we trust a meerkat more than we trust actually having a conversation with a human being?
Yeah, it's become price sensitive, and that is in the general insurance place, you know, for domestic insurances. Even so, it's still not necessarily a clever thing to do, is to just go on price, because Mark's absolutely right. You know, it's all in the small print, isn't it? You know, you get, I had a funny example, a while back, with a domestic insurance policy, and my policy was due for renewal, and a renewal came through. And just as it always is, it was like £800 dearer than it was last year. And I've never made a claim in my entire life. And you go, oh, really? and you go to a comparison website and they offer it for fourpence. So I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit here, but I go back to my original insurance company and I go, I can buy it from them for fourpence. And they go, oh, okay, I'm sure we can price match that. And they go, yeah, da 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 da, yeah, we can get near that. And you go, well, how did you do that? And basically, they just took everything out. So, you know, I've got an insurance policy that, you know, protects me from theft, except it doesn't cover theft anymore because they took it all out to make it fourpence. You know, it's ridiculous, really, isn't it?
I think there will end up being something for commercial. There probably will be something comparison-wise, and indeed, I know that there were things being built when I was back working for an insurer. But I think it is key to knowing in the commercial world, because it's more complicated, what is available, what can protect you. And that's where I think advice is absolutely crucial.
It's crucial, yeah, absolutely right, Mark, because that's the thing, isn't it? It's about getting to know a business and say, look, you don't want to buy that. You'd be better off buying that product and then enhancing it with this, which will get, you know, X, Y, Z. So I really do get that, that, you know, it's about getting the right product at the right price.
Yeah, and I think we have conversations with customers who've got arrangements, and actually we say, do you know what, that does what you need.
Yeah.
And that's the bit where I think what I'd like to see driven more is, if you approach an insurance broker and say, I've got, and they say, I understand your business a bit better, that's fine. Let's forget the price and the pressure sell bit. If we can help, you will ask us to help if you think that we're doing a good job. And we should be judged a lot more on how we approach you, how we look after you as a business, and want to help you, really. And it shouldn't just be about, is it 50 quid cheaper? Great, that's a sale for us. Because that's the wrong way to approach it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Martin.
The other thing I wanted to ask Mark about was, and this is kind of more domestic related, I understand there's some changes afoot in legislation to stop insurers actually not paying out when there's claims. I mean, there's ridiculous things like, you know, have you got window locks? Yes. Were they locked? I don't know. Right, well, if they weren't locked, you're not insured. But hang on a minute, the guy threw a brick through the window and climbed in through a big hole. Yeah. So what does it matter whether I've got my window locked or unlocked? I mean... I think things like that, am I right in thinking they're trying to iron those out?
So there was some new legislation around personal products. That's already enforced and that already happens. The commercial side is changing from the 12th of August this year. The Insurance Act comes into force and replaces something that's over 100 years old, and it gets rid of that reliance on warranties that insurers refuse to pay out on when even they weren't proximate to the loss that's happened. Mm. But as with most things, there is a spin side to that, and actual disclosure needs to happen now. So if you're a bigger business and you've got lots of directors, actually, whereas before one might just do the insurance and represent the business, now there's that need for that business to disclose as a whole. So it is expected that all of the directors are asked the questions around what they know about the business. How it's disclosed to the insurer is now key as well. So the contracts are changing, they're becoming fairer, but at the same time, that disclosure part and what you do around making sure that you've answered the questions and given enough information to put the insurer that they've asked the right questions back of you is now key.
Okay, cool. We could talk about this for a long, long time. Sadly, we're running out of time. So, Mark, if we want to find out more about Cascade Insurance, or we want some advice from you, or we just want to say hello and have a cup of tea, how do we find out more about you?
We love cups of tea. We will bring cake as well, so we'll come and see you. We love doing all that kind of stuff. No obligation chats, as I said, no problem with that. You can see us on Twitter at @Cascade_INS. You can contact us. We're in Ashford on 01233 512 548. God, it's so difficult when you don't dial your own number.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And you can contact me by email at mark@cascadeins.co.uk.
Fabulous. Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show once again. Absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Fabulous.
Thanks. Good stuff. I've got a couple of tweets, and then we're going to play some more tunage, and then we'll come back. Yeah, go on. You've got something you need to read, Martin.
I just need to go back to Cane and Beer, not because of their curry networking, but I was with Abby yesterday, and they're actually recruiting for part-time bookkeepers to complement their business at the moment. So if you are a bookkeeper and you're looking for additional work and clients, then please contact Abby at Cane and Beer in Bromley, because they might well want to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. And I need to read this now, otherwise it's going to run out of time. Tonight, Tuesday the 7th, at 7:30 p.m., there's an Evo Girls networking event at the Granby Hotel in Gravesend. Now, I'm not sure if there's any spaces left, and you're going to have to be quick because it's tonight. But just in case, it's evogirls.co.uk/meetings. And that's tonight, 7th of June, at 7:30 p.m. in Gravesend.
I believe that's Linda Garcia, isn't it?
That's Linda Garcia is involved with that, yes.
So while we're on events and workshops and Linda, Linda's also got one on Thursday with Mid-Kent Ladies Who Latte. This is all very sexist, in my opinion, because, you know, it's all about ladies and Evo girls. And
I sorted this out a long time ago. I go to all the women in business events.
In your...
No, I don't dress up for it. No.
Anyway, so Linda's on tonight. The Granbury Hotel, Gravesend. Conquering Barriers to Business Growth. That's 7:30, Evo Girls. Look at their website and you can book on. Thursday, she's Mid-Kent Ladies Who Latte at the Medway Innovation Centre, Chatham. That's 9:30 a.m. Mid-Kent Ladies Who Latte would be the website to look at there. Next Wednesday, the 15th of June, she's at Mace Point.
She's a busy lady, isn't she?
She's very busy at the moment. And it's their networking hub meeting. So it's Wednesday, the 15th at 11 a.m. And that will be a repeat of Conquering Barriers to Business Growth. And I think men can go to that one, Paul.
Blimey, I'm not going then.
She's also going to be at, as well as exhibiting at the North Kent B2B with Gemma, she's also going to be delivering a keynote there. Book your 15 minutes in the spotlight.
I really don't like overachievers.
I know. She's terrible, isn't she?
Yeah.
So lots going on. This is all great free business advice from one of our previous show guests, Linda, at Aluxi.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Martin. We're going to have a short break.